Inconceivable, a game of nerdery and nonsense, trivia and tribulations. And now here he is, a man whose name can be rearranged to spell the sound my jokes cause him to make a lot, nerd moan. It's Dan Morin.
Thank you, Lex Friedman. Welcome back to Inconceivable, a game that tests two teams' knowledge of the nerdy, useless, and obscure. To my right is Team One. Is she a unicorn? That's none of your business, Kathy Campbell.
Spoiler alert, yes, I am.
Does he travel from time to time? Chip Sutterth.
I may be on the wrong game show. I was, in fact, conceived.
And is she guilty as cinema? Shelley Brisbane.
Oh, I had no idea I was going to be attacked so early. I'm ready now.
I'd like you to all know what you're in for. Who will be captaining Team One?
I'm the captain now.
The Captain Unicorn is in charge.
Indeed.
To my left is Team Two. You might not want to step into his parlor because he may make you buy an egg. It's Monty Ashley.
I have no witty comment.
Check. You might not want to have her as your rival because it could get heated. Annette Weirstra.
I'm hot right now.
And you might not want to invite him over because he is a total party kill. Tony Sindelar.
Hello, nerds. It's me.
Who is captaining Team 2 on this occasion?
I am. Monty is.
Monty and Kathy. Oh, the captains are in pole position today. Number one on both sides. Excellent.
Yep.
As a reminder, our game is played in 5 rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points each, with partial credit decided by me and our scorekeeper, Lex.
Woohoo!
Round one is a game we're calling Divine Intervention. For probably as long as humans have been around, they've tried to predict the future through many and varied means. For each of the following manners of divination, tell me which of the two provided options it actually describes. So I'm going to give you a word. For example, palomancy, P-A-L-L-O-M-A-N-C-Y, palomancy. And you're going to have to tell me, is it divining the future by the motion of pendulums or divining the future by the arrangement of bedsheets? You'll have to pick one. One of them is correct. The other one's a bluff. That's how the game works. In case you're wondering, palomancy is divination by the motion of pendulums.
Oh, it's going to be really easy to answer when you give us that one again.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Let me just write that down. Notes. All right, Kathy, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Your word is abacomancy, A-B-A-C-O-M-A-N-C-Y. Now, is abacomancy divination by the patterns of beads or by dust, sand, or ashes?
All right. My thought is the beads because of an abacus, but team, what do you think?
It's a trap.
I know. That's
divination by Akbar, correct.
Yep. Any thoughts?
I think that's a reasonable guess. I don't know if, I mean, that's a good derivation. I don't know if it's right, but.
Well, I know, because it... Okay, see, here's the problem with Inconceivable. Is
whoa,
that
whoa,
we
we're
know,
really early into the game to tell me what the problem is.
We all know Dan.
In the first question.
So it could be a...
You just picked the opposite because you know Dan.
Right?
Let's just decide 0 points and move on.
Or can I know that you knew that
exactly.
I knew?
So, you know what? We're going to go with beads. The beads one.
By the patterns of beads. Incorrect.
Of course it is. Dan.
I told you so. Akbar is never wrong.
Good try. Monty.
Yes, sir.
Sortilege. S-O-R-T-I-L-E-G-E. Is this divination by casting lots or by the arrangement of chairs?
Sortilege. Can I hear the language of origin?
The language of origin.
I think the answer to that question is no. No, you
can't. Yeah, the answer is no. You can't.
Okay.
You could hear it, question. But we won't say it.
Would you like me to use it in a sentence?
Yes, please.
Sortilege is a type of divination, but what type of divination is it?
That felt like two
sentence.
Sentences.
Yeah.
It was a comma.
Technically,
there
I think
a comma.
Question. There was a question. That was not a sentence.
And can I hear the possible definitions again? Because I already forgot.
Absolutely. Sortilege. Is it divination by casting lots or by the arrangement of chairs?
I feel like I've heard the word sortilege before. I might be thinking of mucilage, though.
Very close.
And if I have heard it before, it would have been drawing lots. But I've never heard of divination through chairs. Mm-hmm. Team, what do you think of my logic?
Well, so far...
Does it count as logic?
Well, it's a form of logic. But I would say so far, using my deep knowledge of Latin roots, I don't know what this word is. But... So far, everything that he's given us has been weirder than I expected. And so that's why I think the chairs and not the sorting of lots, which sounds like a totally reasonable way to divide the future. But that is an uninformed idea. Annette, what do you think?
I agree. Like, I really want it to be chairs because that sounds like the dumbest way to do this divination.
Oh, I can come up with like seven dumber. Just give me, give me 30 seconds.
Fair. But like, it sounds like so dumb and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And sort by lot seems way more reasonable.
Way more
reasonable.
But it could have a funny name.
You guys are right. Yes. Let's lean into the weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, shortledge, as everyone knows, is divination to the arrangement of chairs.
That is weird and could be kind of cool. Unfortunately, no. It is by the casting of lots.
See?
To answer your question, Middle English from medieval Latin sortilegium, from Latin sortilegis, foretelling. And also, apparently, it means just sorcery. There you go.
Kathy, do you want to trade anyone?
Whoa.
I'm open to options.
Are our contracts about to be?
all right, we're going around to Chip. Chip. Your word is, your type of divination is ngam, N-G-G-A, with a little accent grave in it, M. Ngam. Is it by divination by the actions of a spider or crab, or by the roots of a picked vegetable? Gotcha this time. They're both weird.
I think if it was by the roots of a picked vegetable, then I think it would be ngyam. N-G-G-Y-A-M. So
I am what I am.
I'm going with the other one, with the absolute confidence of a man who has absolutely no idea. Team?
That's the traditional man confidence, yes.
That's what we need. Man confidence on this team.
My thought is that it seems odd that it's both a spider and a crab and not like any other crustacean. Or something else.
Spider crab.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever tried divination by the actions of a shrimp? So it's, let me tell you.
I mean,
tiny.
Obviously. No, I mean,
spiders and crabs at least do have legs that operate in similar ways and, you know, stick out from the body and are, yes, as our leader so eloquently mentioned, it's a little harder to dig the legs of shrimp's activities.
Yes.
I'd like the spider one.
Or is it? Who knows? Honestly.
I mean, I hate spiders, so that's also my reason of
so
not.
So clearly they wouldn't be divining things for you, but, you know.
Divining fear.
Yep, yes. Yep, exactly.
They can
exactly.
smell fear. But you got to be careful.
I'm down with whatever you feel.
I'm sticking with the spiders because you may not like them, Kathy, but they like you.
Wow. I know.
That's
thanks
creepy.
For the ominous kit. Okay, Monty, I'm open to trading.
Spiders like unicorns. Now we know.
Chip, you said divination by the actions of a spider or crab?
I did.
You are correct. First correct answer of the game. Well done.
I broke the streak.
Congratulations.
This is practiced in Western Cameroon. And they put down a spider or a crab in like a little bowl and it walks around and they figure out stuff from it.
Wow.
All right, team two, Annette, your divination type is called Futomani. F-U-T-O-M-A-N-I. Futomani. Is it divination using the shoulder blade of a sacred deer or divination using the composition of a collapsed tower of ash sticks?
Futomami. It sounds like maybe it could come from an Asian language, since you won't tell us where it's from. We're going to guess wildly. You said the shoulder blade of a deer?
Yes, the shoulder blade of a sacred deer.
Sacred deer.
Yeah, not under your average
not
deer.
Not just a regular deer. What makes a deer sacred?
We did throw away the rest of the deer, though.
Yes.
They don't use all parts of the deer. They just use the shoulder blade.
The shoulder blade matters.
Maybe it's fine. We don't know.
The ashes seems like a lot easier.
The ashes are also from a deer. They don't mention that, but they
that's
have to
true.
Be.
That's what we do with the rest of the deer.
The rest of the deer
burn it. We burn it.
Wow. Dark.
That's why you invite us.
I can divine that future of that deer for you. I'll tell you that.
It's less dark than wasting a secret sacred deer.
I'm inclined. I think he's trying to trick us with the word sacred. So I'm inclined to go ashes, but I am completely, this is pure guessing. So I don't know what the rest of the team thinks.
I've already forgotten what the word is, and I'm just going by which definition sounds cool. Okay. So,
right?
So probably something about a folding mattress.
Yes.
No. Yes. I don't know.
I know that shoulder blades of deers and oxes have been used for this sort of thing.
Okay.
Does that help?
Do we want to go that direction since we're guessing wildly?
I think so. Like, I know shoulder blades have been used in the Zhao dynasty of China.
Sounds sort of Asian. So,
yeah, I don't know if collapsed ash towers have been. So shoulder blade of a deer seems slightly more plausible to me.
Okay. I will be guided by my captain and say the sacred shoulder blade.
And you didn't even use his shoulder blade. That is correct. Well done. It is, in fact, the traditional Shinto system of divination where you look at cracks in by heating the shoulder blade.
Is the other one an actual thing, or is that another kind of divination that has a different name?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I made it up.
Okay, just checking. So,
same question about those chairs from earlier.
Yeah.
I made that up too.
Okay. You know what? That makes sense. I feel better about that.
I'm not saying it's not a thing. I'll put it this way.
I will be divining things with chairs.
But to your knowledge, you are using your writerly powers to fabricate.
Let me put it this way. I read the Wikipedia page on manners of divination. It is extremely long.
That makes sense to me.
So I won't swear 100% that it's not a thing.
I don't think you should have had to read all of it. You should have just been able to read the beginning and that would tell you how it ends.
Wow.
I also feel like if any of these worked, we wouldn't need so many.
If he had had a shoulder blade of a sacred deer, he would have been able to do that, but apparently he didn't.
Always unprepared.
Right. That's true. Not like MacGyver. He's always got one of those. All right, Shelley. Tyromancy, TYROMANCY. Is this divination by the bouncing of rubber balls or by cheese?
Cheese.
Don't know if you would divine if it was cheese, it would be by the mold on the cheese or the flavor or, I'm sorry, bouncing of rubber balls or cheese. Tyromancy. I feel like it's cheese. If I'm sort of metagaming it here, and I feel like tyromancy is supposed to sound like rubber tires, but it's not, and so I'm choosing cheese with basically no information other than trying to metagame. What do you think, team?
I think that I would be really concerned about divination off of blue cheese. Cheddar, maybe. Swiss, there would probably be some gaps. I think divination by cheese works for me.
Yeah, I'm okay with that since, you know, it's all just a guess and my metagaming backfired. So that works.
Dan, it's divination by cheese. We are not specifying a type of cheese.
Fair enough. And you would be correct.
Yay!
That was the one that spawned all of this when I saw there was divination by cheese.
How does it work?
It involves the observation of cheese, especially as it coagulates. But it can be used with any sort of things. Like, for example, there's an example of where they use Emmental Swiss cheese and the holes right in the cheese are used as some sort of pattern.
It does a pretty good job.
So
that's why Lex is here to throw in those jokes for us.
I enjoy Lex's breezy sense of humor.
Yeah, I get it.
All right, let's finish this round out. Tony.
Oh, no.
Pagtatawas.
What?
Pagtatawas. Pagtatawas. I'm guessing a little bit on the pronunciation here, but I'm doing my best. Is that divination by observation of cracks in the ice or divination by looking at patterns in melted wax?
Oh, okay. So these are both kind of pattern things, whether it's ice or melted wax. Okay, I like that. I'm kind of leaning that maybe it is like a Native American language, and so I kind of like the ice as a thing that you would look for pattern for. But I don't know, wax seems like a good thing to look for patterns in too. Team, ice or wax? Choose wisely.
Yeah, your logic matches mine. I was like, I feel like that sounds like an indigenous language and ice. So, yeah.
Captain Monty? Any ice or wax feelings?
Well, the thing is, I agree that it's an indigenous language, but there is plenty of indigenous languages being spoken, you know, south of the ice, Great Lakes, ices. Where there is more melted wax than there is ice.
Mm. I need a quick map that superimposes the availability of ice and the availability of wax.
Oh, ChatGPT.
Yeah, I think probably ice.
Okay, I think we are not super confident, but we're leaning ice. So it is divination by looking at cracks in ice.
You think Pactatoas is the divination by cracks in ice? Unfortunately, no. It is from patterns in melted wax. It is Filipino, actually.
Oh, okay.
And you can heat alum or molten wax droppings from a burning candle, which is described as both forms of caromancy and orichtomancy. Anyways, there are lots and lots of mancies.
Lots of mancies, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that is the end of round one. Lex Friedman, shall we have a score update?
Only half of the total points available were scored, Dan. It's 20 points for team one and 10 points for team two.
All right, that takes us into round two, the first of our fake-off rounds, in which team one... I don't even need an audience. In which team one must find the real answer. Team one, you may bid between 1 and 10 points based on your knowledge of the following category. If you get the correct definition, you get that many points. If you do not, you lose that number of points. Your category is sci-fi technology.
I love that he gives us the category like that's going to make any difference whatsoever.
I mean, I could ask you to bid with no category information, but then it's literally gambling.
Yes, Dan, you could. Thank you so much for your kindness.
Appreciate it.
Pure vibes. Pure vibes.
Yep. You're welcome.
All the vibes. You know what? Let's go big or go home. All 10 points. Sound good?
Absolutely. Sure, I will follow you not? Wherever you lead, and I will blame you
captain,
after.
My captain.
Perfect. Jeez. Love it. I mean, I've been wrong in all cases, so we're ready.
Kathy, you're just consistent.
Mm-hmm. All right. They have bid the full enchilada, 10 points on sci-fi technology. Team one, your word is LEDY, L-E-A-D-Y. And to hear what one definition of LEDY is, let's go to Monty Ashley.
Well, I was surprised you described this as science fiction technology because it's from a Brian Aldiss book and it's a little woo-woo. The definition we got was a fantastical device for transmuting gold into lead. It's from the story Sector Azure, O Moon of My Delight, a novelette in the collection Star Swarm, which came out in 1963.
Wow, that may be the most detailed definition I've ever given everybody. Or it may not. We'll find out. That's one thing. It could be a device for turning, was it gold into lead, Monty, or lead into gold?
Gold into lead. That's what a LEDY does.
All right. There you go. That's what a LEDY does. Could be that. Could be something else entirely. Annette, what is a LEDY?
Okay. So this is definitely the definition you gave us. It is, though they are robots built to resist radiation before a nuclear apocalypse.
Okay. Could be a robot designed to resist radiation. Could be that device turning lead into gold. Could be something else entirely. Tony Sindelar, what is a LEDY?
Gold into lead. I'm going to correct
Sorry,
you every
gold
time.
Into lead. Lead into gold. Gold into lead.
Back and forth.
Transmutation. Can you not use it the other way? Now I'm just curious. I want to know more. Tony Sindelar, what's a LEDY?
A LEDY is a being that blurs the line between human and artificial construct, often composed of liquid metal alloys. It's from a book.
Some, no one knows which.
I can tell you which.
All right.
But I didn't.
Is it that being that blurs the lines between synthetic and real? Is it the robot for a nuclear apocalypse? Or is it that device for turning gold into lead? I got it this time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, a LEDY. But you got to figure out which one, team one.
That's so great.
Yep.
10 points, huh?
So great.
10 points. Yep. We are on top of it. We're just keeping the suspense going.
Yeah.
I appreciate the drama. It keeps people listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also already forgot the third. One was the golden lead into gold, and the next one was the robot.
Gold
and the third
into
one.
Lead.
We're just faking you out.
And then the third one was the being that blurs the line between human and artificial intelligence.
Yeah, yes.
That's the one that I feel, granted, who knows, because my
Dan knows.
Yeah, well, Dan knows. That's true. Probably so
it's possible I forgot, though, honestly. Who knows?
Yeah. My vibes are saying the third one. The second one, something about how, like, Annette, could you read it again for us, please?
Robots built to resist radiation before a nuclear apocalypse.
Thank you for the pronunciation for apocalypse. Resisting the radiation, I don't know, it seems odd.
Yeah, I'm on board with the third one as well.
I am too. I feel like the first one was the first one I eliminated because it just seems too, despite our confusion about which direction we're going, it just seemed a little too straightforward.
But then I'm also like, did Monty take this and like expand it?
I'm with you on the third one though. That's what I'd want to guess.
All right. We believe Tony is would never lie to us.
Never.
All right. You have picked Tony's definition about a being that blurs the lines between artificial intelligence and a person. Tony, is that what a Leti is?
A Leti, as featured in Moral Code by Lois and Ross Melbourne? No, that's not what it is.
That was a bluff. Who had the correct answer?
I did.
Annette did. Taken out of the running early, I feel like. But yes,
yeah,
Letis are.
Just nobody believed that I would actually know what I was talking about, which is fair.
Letis are robots built to resist radiation before a nuclear apocalypse from a story by Philip K. Dick, a little known writer.
Books.
It was as if Team One was working without Annette.
You can't score without Annette.
No, we can't. And it makes me sad.
The family's curious. A Goldie, I've decided, is what turns lead into gold.
Monty, I think I struggle with why do you want to turn gold into lead?
Well, the idea is that the story is set in a place that's a lot of gold that needs lead. So they take their Goldie and they reconfigure it into a Leti that turns the gold back into lead reasons.
I feel like Dan stumbling over the definition that really gave away that was a constructed one.
Yeah.
still worked out for you.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking about the city of gold, the cities of gold and lead.
Yeah.
Look, isn't lead more durable? Like maybe we want it to resist radiation.
Yeah. I just feel like if you live in a city of gold and lead, you're rich, but you may have some other problems.
Chief among them, Superman.
All right. That's two rounds in. Lex, would you care to give us a score update?
Well, things have changed pretty dramatically, Dan. Whereas before, there was a massive lead where one team had twice the points of the other. Now both teams are tied at 10 apiece.
All right, 10 apiece going to round three, a game we're calling Home Sweet Homes. Lots of actors have betrayed the world's most famous fictional detective
Batman?
And his physician sidekick. From
most
the
most
following...
famous fictional detective, you say?
I did say that. From the following other roles, identify the actor who played Sherlock Holmes or his sidekick, Watson. 10 points for getting it on the first guess, 8 on the second, 6 on the third. And if you'd like to cash in 2 more additional points, I will tell you which of those two characters they played. So, for example, if I gave you Peter Gwillem, anybody know on that one?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
That is a role. Same. That is a role played by an actor.
Oh.
That actor also played Sherlock Holmes.
I see.
To Peter Gwillem, I would add Alan Turing. And to Alan Turing, I would add Stephen Strange.
I know who that is.
The answer would be Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who played Sherlock Holmes.
I'm going to be awesome at this.
I know. There's a lot of names in
this. So he's off the table, basically.
He is off the table. Correct.
Thank God. He was making a mess over here.
Right. So we're getting a character name, then we have to know the actor.
Yep, and that actor also played Holmes or Watson. Correct. You'll get 3 chances.
Okay. It seems pretty elementary to me.
Can we guess at each level, or do we only get 1 guess?
You get a guess at each level. So if you guess it on the first one and don't get it, you'll get a second name.
Okay.
And then a third name. In many cases, the third name will be obvious.
The giveaway name.
All right. We will start with you, Monty.
Oh, okay.
Your first name is Peachy Carnahan.
Peachy Carnahan. Peter Cushing.
Great guess. No, it is not Peter Cushing. To Peachy Carnahan, add...
I'd like to see him play Peachy Carnahan.
Add Harry Palmer.
Harry Palmer.
These all sound like mixed drinks.
And it's just occurred to me, I don't actually want to guess all the Sherlock Holmes and Watsons I can think of, because then everybody will know all the Sherlock Holmeses and Watsons I can think of.
Oh, true.
But we'll
and again, if you're willing to cash in 2 points, I'll tell you if they played Holmes or Watson. Just to remind you, that's an option. All right, to Peachy Carnahan and Harry Palmer, add Alfred Pennyworth.
Still, that does not narrow it down that much, you know. There's more than one person that's played Alfred Pennyworth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's say Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, an excellent guess. Did he play Alfred Pennyworth?
I don't know.
Not correct. I'm afraid anybody on
Commissioner Gordon.
Anybody on Team One know this one? Just for bragging rights?
Nope.
No ghost points here.
Wow, no ghost points. Peachy Carnahan, Harry Palmer, and Alfred Pennyworth were all played by Michael Caine.
Ah.
Who played Sherlock Holmes
Without a Clue.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yes. Oh, you've seen this movie. All right.
I've seen it so many times.
It's a good
I
movie.
Had it on a VHS, and I wrecked the VHS. I watched it so many times.
All right. Let's go to Team One. Kathy.
Yes.
Your first role is Dr. Van Helsing.
Okay. I know that exists. Vampire player, right?
Mm-hmm. There have been not a few Van Helsings.
This is not my round. Not that any of them are my rounds, but names of actors and characters, very difficult. Should we go for another clue?
We need another clue.
Yeah, another clue,
all
please.
Right.
I had a guess, but...
Oh, well, no, wait.
All right.
Are we penalized if we guess incorrectly?
No.
What happens?
No.
You'll just get to the next name.
We just go to the next name. So all guesses.
I'm guessing yes. Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, good guess. Not correct.
So sorry.
That's good. No,
to Dr. Van Helsing, add Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
Chip, okay. I think this is you.
Yes, yeah. It is. And we're totally going with Peter Cushing now.
That is correct. It is Peter Cushing,
yay!
And I phrased that very specifically because he is Doctor Who, not the Doctor. You did not need Grand Moff Tarkin. He played Holmes in many a Sherlock Holmes film back in the middle of the century or so. All right. Middle of the last century. Thank you.
Yep.
I believe that is 8 points,
yes.
Lex. All right. Let's move to Team Two. Annette.
Mm-hmm. The problem is I've watched a lot of Sherlock Holmes, but I don't recognize characters. So this will be where I'm awesome.
All right.
Okay, go.
Your first name is, in quotes, lucky, unquote, Ned Pepper.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
My guess is it's going to be somebody who played a Watson, though.
It has Watson vibes, yeah.
No guesses for who it would be?
Crickets.
It sounds old. I mean,
you might just throw out Martin Freeman.
Yeah. Should we just guess it?
Do it.
Martin Freeman.
Incorrect. To Lucky Ned Pepper, add Joseph Pulitzer.
I feel like there should be more overlap between Holmes movies and Jane Austen movies. That would be really helpful for me. I think there is none. There is one. I just thought of one. Connection between Jane Austen and
that's
Sherlock
probably
Holmes.
Worth at least a few points.
I would say that.
So
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But that does not help us here. Mm-hmm. And he plays Holmes, not Watson. Does anyone have a guess?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
I do not have a guess, but it's interesting that Pulitzer was an American.
Mm.
So it should be somebody with an okay American accent, unless it's a bad accent.
It seems like an older version. Okay, I'm going to say Johnny Harris, who's the person who is in both Jane Austen and Sherlock Holmes.
Incorrect. To Lucky Ned Pepper and Joseph Pulitzer, add Tom Hagen.
That sounds like a Dickens name.
That's not a Dickens name. It's a godfather.
No, it's a godfather.
Name.
It's the lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah.
A movie I've not seen. Or I think I did see and I blocked it out. Godfather is not my movie.
I don't know who plays him in the movie.
Is that just Robert Duvall? I don't know that Robert Duvall ever did Holmes or Watson, though, so I'm doubting myself in this statement.
I have no better answer, so we can go for it. Robert Duvall.
You're saying Robert Duvall.
That is correct.
Nice.
Well done.
There we go. I got something.
Yeah.
I was really worried I got that wrong.
He played Watson in The 7% Solution.
Oh.
Yes, he played Tom Hagen in The Godfather. He played Joseph Pulitzer in Newsies. Come on. You guys don't know your Newsies?
Oh.
I don't.
I forgot the Pulitzer, even though it's part of my favorite
song. It's in the song.
It's fine.
All right.
Annette, you should probably watch Newsies. That seems...
Oh my gosh, enough. You would absolutely love...
I've seen the musical on Broadway.
Nah, the movie's way better.
The movie is better. All right, 6 points there, I believe. Let's kick it back over to Chip.
I'm here now.
Chip, your first name is Dickie Greenleaf.
I thought it was Chip.
That's my Canadian name.
Oh.
Dickie Greenleaf A.
That, wow. It almost feels like a name that I should know. But it is not. Do either of you know?
I have no idea.
Do not know.
I'll take another clue, Dan.
To Dickie Greenleaf add Yon-Rogg.
My favorite genre of music.
Oh, my goodness.
Yon what?
That would be Jude Law.
That would indeed be Jude Law. Well done.
Okay, who's Yon-Rogg?
He's the bad guy, the toxic male in Captain Marvel.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Dickie Greenleaf was his Jude Law's role in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where he gets, spoiler, murdered by Matt Damon.
A movie I've seen.
You did not need Jad Nanawood, which I bet you would have figured out, but we'll see.
Wait, who?
What was that
I
name?
I would not have, actually.
Jad Nanawood. That's who Jude Law played in Skeleton Crew, the Star Wars.
What kind of divination is that?
I could not even.
We needed, like, Jude Law in The Holiday.
I know. I'm like, there's so many other Jude Law movies that I would, like.
Dan, this is a skewed Jude Law representation here. Let's be.
Lord Bosey Douglas.
Can you name the character from The Holiday? Other than it's Jude Law?
Yeah.
Or Jude Law in Spy.
Yes. Oh, that was a good movie.
What's his name, Annette?
I don't know.
Jude Law in Spy.
I guess, should I just have given you, like, I could have just given movies, I guess, in which there's a character who is also in a Sherlock Holmes movie. Maybe that would have been easier.
He plays Gigolo Joe in AI.
He does, that's true.
The only sex robot in the Spielberg movie, I think.
Wow. For kids.
All right. Tony, I think we're around to you.
Oh no, I'm gonna be really not good at this.
That's the spirit, competitor.
I love names of people I've never met.
They say, you know, dress for the job you want to have. This is make the game you wish you could play, right?
Oh, okay. So this is all just wish fulfillment for you. This is like,
correct. I think that's how most of our game shows work.
I think you're verging from game show into kind of a Saw territory.
Stop,
Dan,
distracting
and I don't like
him.
Are you ready to play a game? All right, your first name is Albert Mondego.
Albert Mondego. I have no idea. And we're not solo, so their team can help us out.
We could if we knew who that was.
If we knew, yes. But you're available for help, just not having any to give.
Aren't you glad I'm on your team?
Okay. It feels like an ethnic name, like an Italian or something. Did any Italians ever get to play Sherlock Holmes?
It does sound Italian.
It sounds like a cheese you can use for divination.
I feel like normally if you're even a little bit swarthy, you don't get to play Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes, little pale. Well, it could be a Watson name. We don't know. I think we need another role, Dan.
Okay, to Albert Mondego, add Napoleon Solo.
Napoleon Solo.
That's from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, okay. Good. I thought it was like, as featured in the movie Star Wars, Solo.
That's his dad. His dad's name is Napoleon. Awkward.
So there's two versions of that. There's the new version and there's an old version.
Yeah.
What else do you know about The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Monty?
Well... the new one had Henry Cavill in it because he grew a mustache.
He's a superman.
Then he's the one because he is Enola's Holmes's older brother, Sherlock Holmes.
Fantastic.
I think, that's what we're saying, Dan.
You are correct. It is indeed Henry Cavill. You did not need Geralt of Rivera. AKA
also tricky. Multiple people have played Geralt
indeed.
Of Rivera now. So
that's true.
But
or as we call
pool.
Him in my household, Gerald of the Riviera.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Wiggy Wick Wig Face.
All right, 8 points there, I believe. Yes. And we will finish it out with Shelley. Shelley, your first role is Alex Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y.
Alex Monday.
It's just another Alex Monday.
Sounds like a canceled Nickelodeon show.
I mean,
they're all canceled eventually.
The clue is that it's you instead of O, I guess. I don't know. Golly, I don't know. Team, any ideas?
No idea.
Not a clue. Let's Alex go.
Alex Monday. Yeah, let's have another clue, please, Dan.
Sure. To Alex Monday, add Agent Sever.
This sounds very MCU, and so I'm out of my depth again.
Okay, no. It's the movie real title : Sever Ballistic Severinec. So whoever
wow,
was in
I have
that,
never even heard
that. What was that? You said words, and I don't know what those words mean.
Mm-hmm. I had to write coverage for that script before it was made when I lived in Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
Oh, that really? Is a good wow. crossover.
Well, that's fun. That's some yeah. flexing right
that's
there.
That's almost glinting.
The game is off. Tell us everything.
Tell us everything that wouldn't help them with this.
Shall we have another clue, or Chip, are you...
So. This is not a movie I ever watched. It's not a movie I ever wanted to watch, but it's one of those stupid movie names that found itself frozen in my skull. Does it help us? Not in the least.
All right, Dan, we'll take another clue then, please.
All right, to Alex Monday and Agent Sever, add Oren Ishii.
Yeah, this is not my...
That sounds vaguely Star Warsy to me, but that doesn't help me at all. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Kathy?
No, I could not. No clue.
The white flag has been hoisted.
Nobody has taken advantage of cashing in 2 points to figure out which role.
Well, that's not. But see, that's a. I don't,
or do you want to take a guess? That's also not.
So telling us whether it's Holmes or Watson,
how does it
really doesn't matter?
I don't know if that helps.
I mean, it might narrow things down. I don't know.
To cash in 2 points for that, or to take one last guess and then we're out, or do we get another clue, or at what point do we?
That's it.
That's it? Yeah, okay.
This is the last one. I will spell that name for you too, just in case it helps.
Well, thanks so much.
O-R-E-N space I-S-H-I-I.
Well, now try spelling Ballistic X versus Sever.
That's the official title. I wasn't even correct, but yes, the official title is Ballistic X versus Sever.
What a terrible name.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
I believe it's a really bad movie, too.
I said, don't make this movie, and they made the movie, and I was like, boy, I'm an idiot. And then it was a giant bomb, and I was like, yeah, I was right.
That was when you left.
Okay, so a movie that Lex would not have made, that's another clue for us, but it hasn't helped.
No one.
I mean,
do
if
not
you're
going
to make it, just, well, yeah, okay. Choice one, don't make this movie. Choice two, don't name it that. Well, I mean, like, how did that get out of committee? Like, was that entry one in the ballistics universe?
All I'm saying is that regardless of how we blow this guess, we should get a sympathy point for remembering Ballistic X versus Sever.
all sympathy points for you, Chip. Yes.
Yes.
I don't think we have a guess, Dan.
Not even a guess. It's free points. You might get it right. Anything, if you know?
So
which
a Sherlock
role?
Holmes
which role?
Took a Sherlock. Yeah,
this is a Watson.
Okay, this still not help. This is something
Martin
that
Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Known for his portrayal of Oren Ishii. not correct. Just out of curiosity, Team 2, do you know this?
Yeah,
it's Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
Lucy Liu.
Oh, yeah.
Right before you started saying those names I wrote down in our little chat, I think Lucy Liu is going to show up.
Yeah. Lucy Liu, most known for her role as Sever in Ballistic Deck.
I mean, that's a good pull.
In some ways, it's such a bad movie that I thought it might register, and it stuck in Chip's head.
I did not know that there was a Lucy Liu starring Holmes, but.
What's Oren Ishii?
That's Kill Bill. She famously played in Kill Bill. Alex Monday is her character from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
And of course, she is from the show Elementary.
Correct.
Yes.
Which previously alluded to by Lex.
I've watched Elementary before.
Have you seen any of the episodes with Lucy Liu in them?
Yes. Just one or two. She shows up a couple of times.
Did you know you were seeing the episodes with Lucy Liu in them?
I will say.
That was a killing blow right there, Tony.
I will say, to Annette's point, I had several in here I did not use, and one of them, the first role, is a Jane Austen role. So, sorry for not giving you George Knightley. Mm-hmm. But
see? It's fine. Mm.
All right. That round seemed to have gone great, Lex. What's your opinion? Can you give me some scores?
I have no idea, Dan. No, it's very close. It's very close. Team 1 has a now total of 26 points under Kathy's leadership, barely eking out a victory currently over Team 2 under Monty's leadership, who has 24 points. 26-24.
This is a very close game as we go into round 4, which is Dan and Lex will return in Fake Off Doomsday, along with everybody else, apparently. This is Team 2's chance to bid for points on the following category. If they get the correct definition, they will get that number of points. If they do not, they will lose that number of points. Chance to open up a big lead here with the category Philosophical Concepts. You're welcome, Team 2.
Oh, no.
Oh, great.
Doesn't that make all the difference?
Narrow it down.
It does make a lot of difference.
It's more about the bidding than the category anyway.
So, Team, here's my logic for bidding.
Okay.
To win, we need to get this question right.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we should bet everything we have on it, because that'll give us the best chance to win if we get it right.
So go big or go home.
The world where we get it wrong doesn't count at all, because we lose in all of those scenarios.
Okay, that's a kind
of... I'm used to losing, so I don't mind risking it all.
We're pretty close behind. What if we risk 0 points? We skip this round entirely. The podcast is 15 minutes shorter than ever earlier. Everyone gets to go home.
I believe you have to bid at least 1 point per rules.
Can you check the rule
book? Who makes the rules, Dan?
Can you check your rule book, Dan?
All right, hold on. I got to call the network guides and everything. Points. Yes, you may bid between 1 and 10 points, says my spreadsheet, which is the official spreadsheet.
The official spreadsheet. Is there an unofficial spreadsheet?
Yes, we don't look at that.
Is that Lex, where Lex does his math?
Yeah, you don't want to use that one, is what I'm saying.
if we bet a meager 3 points, that would give us an edge going into the final round, but we would still have a chance of, if we get it wrong, of coming back if the other team makes some mistakes. I don't particularly feel strongly either way.
And we're betting 10 points, Dan.
Monty. Yeah, we are.
We call this one the full Monty. Monty bids 10 points on Philosophical Concepts. All right, Team 2, your word is John Barr Hinge. J-O-N-B-A-R space Hinge. H-I-N-G.
Wasn't he a Sherlock Holmes?
I'll give you 2 more roles John Barr Hinge played. No, what is it, John Barr Hinge? Let's find out. Kathy Campbell.
It's obviously that key central point where a wormhole transitions from one side to the other.
Ooh, the point where a wormhole transitions from one side to the other. That might be a John Barr Hinge, but it might be something else. Chip, what is a John Barr Hinge?
Kathy, how dare you? A John Barr Hinge is the pivot point when a planetary society either faces its destruction or ensures a spacefaring future.
Oh, okay. All right. Could be the point where a planet decides if it's going out into the stars or if it is going into the garbage bin, galactically speaking. Could still be that wormhole point. Could be something else entirely. Shelley, what is a John Barr Hinge?
Duh. A John Barr Hinge is a crucial divergence point between 2 outcomes, as in time travel.
Oh, it could be a time travel concept. Could be that concept about planets making their way into the stars, or it could be that wormhole transition point. It's one of those, Team 2, but you must tell me which one.
The wormhole transition seems less philosophical than the others.
I agree.
It also is like a transition and not like a hinge point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, no offense to the wormhole one. It just, it seems like a great definition of something, but I don't think it's a John Barr Hinge.
Are we allowed to ask them questions?
You are allowed to ask. They do not have to answer.
You can ask all you want.
Ask all you want. We may not answer. We may answer wrongly.
Shelley, what do you mean a divergence point?
First of all, I said a divergence point, but yeah.
We're not going to answer.
That's true. We're just going to correct your pronunciation, but other than that, we're not going to answer. Kathy said so, and she's our captain.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think it's the pivot point when a society faces destruction or a future in the space. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I do, too. The third one seems too vague.
I like the middle one. I think it's if it's not a John Barr Hinge, it's something else awesome. And so that's worthy of something.
I stand by that, too.
All right, I think they have settled on Chip's answer about a planet making its decision between destruction or interstellar glory. Chip, is that what a John Barr Hinge is?
You know, that's always been what I've wondered about. You know, why don't we ever encounter spacefaring societies, and I figure that they made that decision at some point or another, so I turned that into a bluff.
It was a bluff who had the correct definition of John Bar Hinge.
It was not me.
Shelley did. Yes. Not only this John Bar Hinge thing that I had never heard of, but it is literally has its own Wikipedia entry. Which surprised me.
I feel like I had heard of it. I couldn't have told you what it was.
So wait, you're telling me this is a real thing and not something from some book we're not going to
read? Well, it's almost... Rude.
Accurate.
If it was in your book, I would read it.
It's derived from the Jack Williamson novel, The Legion of Time. It refers to one action from its character, John Barr, whose picking up of one of two objects is a major turning point in history. Tuning one will lead to a utopian civilization, while the other one to the tyranny. So it's kind of similar to Chip's thing,
dramatic.
But a little different.
So
yeah.
Basically the same definition. Chips is better.
Anyways, it's used in science fiction criticism as well, too. All right. That could have been a big round. Was it a big round, Lex? Where are the scores going into our final round?
If I got that right, we lost 10 points for Monty and Team 2 on that round.
I think it should be in the other column.
I meant to bet negative 10. Did I not say that out loud?
Yeah. Ooh, poll choice.
Can you imagine if I got the scoring wrong, Tony? Please don't mess with me.
That would be so weird.
Now, can you imagine? Team 2 has 14 points. That's 10 points fewer than they had before. Team 1 has 26 points. That's the same number of points they had before. That's how that round works. No, you fake off.
All right. Well, we have nothing left to lose. Go for blood.
Great plan.
Take them down.
All right.
Yeah.
Our final round, round 5.
No more being polite. It gets real now.
You got one round to get real. Our final round, round 5, is entitled Comic Rock Opera. So many songs have women's names in the title. Surely some of them must be about comic book characters, right? From the following clues, divine the song title, now featuring a superhero character. So, as an example... I've done a lot of embarrassing things on this show.
Why do you sound so tired?
Because I've done a lot of bad things on this show.
You sound like us.
And it's about to get bad.
If you're not proud of this, why do we have to hear it?
And yes. Here we go.
In Gotham City, not a thieving cat. She's a superhero dressed up as a bat.
So these are lyrics from songs that have a woman's name in the title, but they're about superhero characters with those names that you're going to mash up. So, I'll play that for you one more time, and then I'll tell you where this is going. We'll see if we all agree.
In Gotham City, not a thieving cat. She's a superhero dressed up as a bat.
That would be a reference to Barbara Gordon, who's Batgirl, in the song Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys. So, it's Barbara Ann Gordon.
Wow.
There's silence.
I'm gonna be
I love this.
So bad
this
at this.
Is really.
Look, if I had to embarrass myself by making song clips where
can
I'm singing
it
one more time, well, it's a contract.
Now that we know the melody you're going for, can we hear that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. Ooh. Brutal. Wow. All right. Here.
In Gotham City, not a thieving cat. She's a superhero dressed up as a bat.
Wait, is that a recording? You're not doing this live?
I'm not doing this live. That's why you get the...
Wait, I can stop playing all these instruments?
He's been running around for a while
Lex,
there.
Lex, you're so talented.
Anyway.
Dan, you spent so much time thinking about how you could do this.
I see where you're going. And yet...
Careful, that might be a clue for one of the songs.
You know what? This may be the last episode. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
The one that ends Dan Moore.
Look, we're all clear.
John Bar Hinge?
We're all tempted to give some extra points for that one. Give him an extra point, Lex. They get an extra point for that.
Okay. We'll Surely see. That won't break the spreadsheet.
Nah, it's fine.
Yes. One extra point.
All right. Your first one, Kathy.
Yep.
Here I hope go. These are incredibly unhinged.
She was more like a psychic girl from a mutant world. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean you are the one who emerged with a force from the stars?
Okay, these got a lot better. I'm in now.
Okay. Okay, so this is...
Now that he's mixed Billy... down the voice and up the music. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm working on it.
Billie Jean, right?
Yep, and that's Billie Jean Grey. Jean Grey.
Yep.
There you go, 10 points. You got the
Yay!
Bell.
Yay!
All right, on to Monty for the next one.
Picture yourself in Metropolis City, where her sister writes for the newspaper there.
This feels like it's going to be Lucy Lane in the Sky with Diamonds.
And yep, you're correct. That is exactly what it is.
It feels like that because it is that, Monty.
I've never even heard of Lucy Lane, but I just assume.
She's Lois Lane's sister.
I got that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's like all you need to know.
I like
about,
the indignity.
Like,
the indignity with which Tony said that.
I didn't know Lois had a sister.
That's why you're here, Tony. That's why you're here.
There's two sisters. One of them is like the greatest reporter in the world, and the other one is her sister.
All right, Chip.
I'm not sure I'm ready for this when I'm hallucinating after the last song.
Get ready.
Should have known it from the very start. She and Reed were never to part. So listen, people, what I'm telling you. She looks great in white and blue.
That one slaps, Dan. Full stop.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I want to hear that again.
Same.
I'm glad you're not doing it live because you can hear it again.
Yeah.
All right.
Should have known it from the very start. She and Reed were never to part. So listen, people, what I'm telling you. She looks great in white and blue.
Could I get a spoken word version, specifically the second line?
No.
That was hard to understand.
That depends. I want to know if Chip already knows it or not.
Chip thinks he knows it.
Oh, well, then go ahead.
Yeah.
Is that Sue Richards? Run Around Sue Richards?
I had Run Around Sue Storm, but that I'll accept Run Around Sue Richards,
okay,
too.
Okay, good.
The line was, she and Reed were never to part.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
I wouldn't have known it any better, knowing that, but yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely would have gotten that. At that point,
I
so
you
know,
Kathy.
I'm glad that Chip could.
But Chip
could,
was here,
you know,
to show us how to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go to Annette, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I am not ready, but please put an 80s or 90s song in there.
Oh yeah, is there a request feature this one?
Yes, that's what I'm requesting.
All right.
Mad wall crawler living in the city. Said I dig a tiger, but I got to keep moving. Oh. Keep moving on.
Okay, so like my weakness is superhero things, and also I don't know the title of that song, so I need help.
I think I couldn't quite make out the lyrics. It sounded like it might be about Spider-Man, which would mean it's MJ. I think, I don't know, Monty.
So Mary Jane.
And then I don't know songs.
I have never felt so old.
The song is by...
I'm the same age as you. I'm just really bad at song titles. Also trivia.
Sounds like something would play on the oldies channel.
The song is by Red Hot Chili Peppers, or it could have been... Actually, can I just hear it again really quick?
Yeah, one more time. Coming right up.
Mad wall crawler living in the city. Said I dig a tiger, but I got to keep moving. Oh. Keep moving on.
What's Mary Jane's last name?
Is it Watson?
Great. Last dance for Mary Jane Watson.
I'm going to take it.
With Mary Jane Watson?
It is Mary Jane Watson. I think it's technically Mary Jane's last dance.
Yes.
But I'm going to accept last dance because it's...
And by Tom Petty, the Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
Although
it is Tom
known
Petty,
to
yes.
sound just like a song by
the... It does sound a bit like a Chili Peppers song.
It's easy to mistake Tom Petty for Anthony Kiedis. Absolutely.
Well, it's easy to mistake Dan for both of them.
I do sound alike.
I can't tell who's being made fun of right now.
Everybody.
Somebody's clearly being shaded.
All right. That was 10 points. You got it. All right,
it's
we
Tom
go back.
Because I thought that song was Californication at first, and that's not a yes. compliment.
All right.
You got to remember, everything is interpreted through Dan's voice.
Yep, correct. I did
who
this.
Lives at the exact intermingling of Tom Petty and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's how I live my life. Shelley, for you, we got this one.
Saw her running with the Minutemen, the fighting off the commies, and that was way back when, oh baby.
God, okay, it's a very old song that I could... I need to hear that again, please.
All right, run it again.
Saw her running with the Minutemen, the fighting off the commies, and that was way back when, oh baby.
Okay, my guess at the superhero, the Minutemen is throwing me off. And you guys tell me... Go ahead.
Minutemen is a Watchmen reference.
Okay, I'm out then, because I had a different guess. And I don't even have the song, and I had all the other songs. Chip, are you going to help me?
Help me, Chip.
I'm trying. Right. I'm trying to run back.
That song is really old, but I can't find a woman's name in it in my head.
Oh God.
Are you able to finish this? Like, can you?
One more time, please.
Yeah, one more time.
Saw her running with the Minutemen, the fighting off the commies, and that was way back when, oh baby.
Oh, what is this? Oh God. I'm sure I know the song, but can't place it.
The character from the Minutemen would be Sally Jupiter.
Okay.
It's a song that ends in Sally.
Mustang Sally, sneaking Sally through the alley. Mustang Sally Jupiter, then? That we want?
Yep. That's
Mustang
what we want.
Sally Jupiter, Dan.
I think we're going to have to go to the judge for a partial credit on this one, because you got the superhero, but not the song.
To me, that means they did 50% of the work, Dan.
Yeah, so is that half points?
That's 5 points.
That's 5 points. Team 2, do you know what song they were looking for?
Long Tall Sally.
Sally Jupiter.
I could not recognize that song from that clip.
Yeah.
Yep. The song was complete blank.
I mean,
for
I know that
too.
Song, but I couldn't. Yeah.
By Little Richard. All right. One song left. One question left. Nothing riding on this, but the whole game. Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I'm sure we can trust Lex to tell us.
Right. I mean, I'm keeping score for whatever that's worth.
It's such a John Barr hinge. I mean,
we may have created a fork system based on past events. No reason.
All right, Tony. Oh, well, last one's for you.
You know, I'm not the little girl who just had to die. I'm super powered now, spinning webs and swinging high.
All right.
Not so chatty now, are you, Tony?
No, I'm not, because I don't know this, especially... All right, let's hear it one more time.
Dan, I'd like to steal.
I know. I was like, I'm so proud of myself. I know the song.
We're listening. I just listened for lyrics.
Like,
now, team, we're listening for song. Dan, one more time.
All right.
Hit it.
You know I'm not the little girl who just had to die. I'm super powered now, spinning webs and swinging high.
I think it's Spider-Gwen. Do my team have any ideas about the song that could involve the name Gwen Stacy?
Gwen Stacy's mom, parentheses, has got it going on.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Can you give me the answer?
What Monty said. Monty said one more time.
Gwen Stacy's mom is correct. Well done. That was good teamwork. All right. That was the end of the round and thus the end of the game. Lex, can we have the final scores?
Well, it was very close. Remarkably, Monty and Team 2 scored 31 points in that round because you gave them a bonus point at the start. So they scored more than possible points. Kathy and Team 1 scored 25 points in that round, making the final score Team 1, 51. Team 2, 45.
Very close one with Team 1 eked out in today's episode. Thank you once again to all our panelists. As a reminder, if you'd like to suggest rounds or write in with comments or questions, you can reach us at inconceivable@theincomparable.com via email or over on Mastodon, where we are inconceivable@zeppelin.flights. Thank you once again to all of my panelists and to scorekeeper Lex Friedman. We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.
And if you're feeling lonely, sign up for an account on John Barr Hinge.